A man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. This Mary was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they replied, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" But Jesus answered, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up." "But Lord," his disciples said, "if he sleeps, he will get better." His disciples had thought he meant natural sleep, but Jesus had been speaking to them about his death. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I was not there for your sake, so that you may believe. But come, let us go to him." Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus had come, she went out to meet him. "Lord," Martha said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." "Well, I know he will rise again," said Martha, "in the resurrection, at the last day." Then Jesus declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After having said this, she then ran and called her sister Mary. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she fell at his feet, weeping. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Once more, deeply moved, he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone rolled in front of the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by now there is a strong odor, for he has been there for 4 days. But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked toward heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." Now, having said this, he then called in a loud voice toward the tomb, "Lazarus! Come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and her sister Martha and had seen what Jesus did, well, they put their faith in him. But some of them went to the chief priests and the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees, they called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, well, the whole world will believe in him. And then the Romans will come, and they'll take away both our place and our nation. Then one of them, who was named Caiaphas, high priest that year, stood up. You know nothing at all, he said. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation perish. Now, he did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for the Jewish nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Now, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover feast, many people went up to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Now, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came, well, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So, the chief priests and the Pharisees made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Now, the next day, the large crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the chief priests and the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Now, it was just before the Jewish Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the evening meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. But Simon Peter said to him, No, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. But Jesus answered him, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Simon Peter replied, Well then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet, for you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing his disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know those whom I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scriptures. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will know that I am he. After Jesus had said these things, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled and testified, I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Then, leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you're about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified through him. If God is glorified in him, he will glorify the Son in himself. And he will glorify him at once. My little children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. But Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. But Simon Peter said, well, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered him, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me. Three times. But do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip said to him, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered him, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Now, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father to give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Though the world does not know him, you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it'll become even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in me, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you obey my command, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. In a little while, you will see me no longer. And then, after a little while, you will see me. Now, some of his disciples began to ask one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no longer? Then after a little while, you will see me because I'm going to the Father. We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her child is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you don't even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus told them. But the time is coming, and has now come, when you will all be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now when Jesus had said this, he then looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I've brought you glory by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I've made you known to those you gave me out of the world, for I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, even as we are one. My prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be brought to complete unity. But let the world know that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. When he had finished praying, he left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. Now on the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth," they replied.
"I am he," said Jesus. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. Now when Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth," they replied.
"I told you that I am he," said Jesus. "Since you are looking for me, then let these men go." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with their officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Now, Simon Peter and another disciple who was known to the high priest were following Jesus. Since this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Simon Peter had to wait outside at the door. So then the disciple who was known to the high priest went back. He spoke to the girl on duty there and brought Peter in.
"You're not one of his disciples, are you?"
the girl at the door asked Peter. He denied it, saying, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants stood around a fire that they had made to keep warm. Simon Peter was also standing there with them, warming himself. Now, meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught at the temple or at the synagogue where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." Now, when Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face.
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded.
But Jesus answered, "If I said something wrong, it testifies to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him still bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now meanwhile, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked again,
"You're not one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it, saying,
"I am not."
Another man, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him.
"Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?"
Again, he denied it. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. Now, by now, it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate, he came out to them and said to them, "What charges are you bringing against this man?"
"If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you."
"Well, take him yourselves," Pilate said, "and judge him by your own law."
"But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected.
You see, this happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. So then Pilate went back inside the palace and questioned Jesus. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked. "Is that your own idea?" said Jesus, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate said. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "So you are a king then," said Pilate. "You are right in saying I am a king," said Jesus. "In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" said Pilate. And with this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "Look, I find no basis for charges against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner during the time of the Jewish Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" But they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. So Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Now, once more, Pilate went out and said to the Jews, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." Now when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." But they shouted back, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "You take him and crucify him," Pilate said. "As for me, I find no basis for charges against him." "But we have a law," the Jews objected. "And according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Now, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace and questioned Jesus. "Where do you come from?" Pilate asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above. Therefore, the ones who handed me over to you are guilty of a greater sin." Now, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Now when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, and he sat down at the place known as the stone pavement, the judge's seat. It was the day of preparation, about the 10th hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted back, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place known as the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here, they crucified him. Then with him, two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." near the cross of Jesus stood Jesus' mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, his mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that day on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was nearby, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, the day on which Jesus was crucified was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate for permission to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Well, the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. See, these things happen so that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. Now later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for permission to have the body of Jesus. Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who would visit Jesus earlier at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it in the spices with the strips of linen. This is in accordance with Jewish burial customs. Now near the cross of Jesus, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Since it was the day of preparation, and because the tomb was nearby, they placed Jesus there. Now, very early, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene got up and went to the tomb. And she found that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Simon Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked inside, but didn't go in. Finally, Simon Peter arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had arrived first, went inside. He saw and believed. Now, the disciples still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So then the disciples went back to their homes. Now, later, on that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said to them. Then he showed them his nail-pierced hands and his wounded side. Again he said to them, "Peace be with you." The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them,
unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.
Now, a week later, the disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said to them. Then he said to Thomas, see my hands? Put your finger here. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Jesus did many other miraculous signs and wonders that are not recorded in this book. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. Such a privilege to be able to share the gospel. I've watched our country change dramatically in the last 5-8 years. And the attitudes towards the Bible, I was telling Pastor that we're getting death threats from Nation of Islam and Islamists on Facebook and Twitter. So we have to be very careful about what we share and what we don't and where I'm going. It's a different environment. I started doing this 18 years ago, and I've been all over the world, but I've seen just dramatic shift in attitude in our culture, and it started to affect our church. And I can see there's a window that's closing, being able to share God's word freely. And so I thank you. I'm more and more appreciative every time I get to share the gospel, because I think we're experiencing a little bit of what believers in other countries and the first century church experienced. So pray for us that we'll be bold and boldly proclaiming God's word, and that God will continue to open doors, and that more and more churches won't be ashamed of God's words or ashamed of the gospel, proclaiming it freely. So that's a great prayer request. I also want to encourage you, the reason I'm here to share God's word with you is so that it will bear some fruit. I want to see you do something with what you hear. I'm not here just to entertain you. This is God's word. It carries a responsibility. I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about what God wants you to do with the encouragement you got from his word today. God wants to pour his truth into you so that he can pour his grace through you and it can reach others around you. That's why we're taking the truth in, so God's love can be poured through us to others. If you need something to do with this encouragement, you can see my table there. I bring with me children, the poorest people on the planet. These are orphans through Food for the Hungry. They're an excellent organization, great stewards of God's resources, and they focus in areas where they can fully disciple the children, which I love because they're free to proclaim everything, and we can write them and build Christ into their lives. And their whole model is to make them self-sufficient and disciples and turn them around to be the blessing in their community and move on to another village. So that opportunity is available for you there. I can't encourage you enough. Decide before you leave here what God wants you to do with the encouragement you've got here. Because when we get on the other side, the place that Jesus said he's preparing for us, we're going to see each other again. And I want it to be our joy to look and see what God's Word did. So pray about that. Thank you again for having me and being such a great audience. You guys listen. Ooh, very well. Ears to hear. Thank you. I'll be back here to meet and greet.